Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I'm going to kick this hour off in style because I got super diver John Chatterton on the line with me. John, how are you, buddy? Long time.
I'm good, Greg. Yeah. I don't think I've seen you in a year since like maybe Lady Luck or something like that.
Yeah, you know, it has been a while. I'm going down there next year. Well, I'm actually down there this weekend as we record this. And I'm all screwed up with my recording schedule because I'm going down for this new wreck they're doing in Pompano. And maybe I'll see you down there and we'll talk about it next week, right?
Is this going to involve a time machine?
Yeah, it probably will, or some kind of phone booth that we go into and lights up and blows. And
I got to say, you know, one of the great things about living in this area of South Florida around Pompano, Broward County, West Palm Beach County, these guys are totally awesome when it comes to the artificial reef wrecks. And you know, there's so much stuff working against the environment, and the artificial reef wrecks, they work.
Yeah.
You know, you put a ship on the bottom and boom, you have an ecosystem, and if you sink it, they will come.
There you go. I like the way you think. And you know, we're going to talk about that a lot next week as we do this broadcast from this whole event. It's a big pomp and circumstance of them actually sinking this boat, and I'm going to be there watching the whole thing, diving, one of the first divers to get on. It'll be a blast. But, you know, I got to talk to you, John, because, you know, Mr. Chatterton here is not only just a super diver and just a great guy, he does great work, too. And on Facebook this week, I'm looking on one of the feeds, and I see this post that John makes about longline fishing.
I thought I blocked you. I didn't block
no,
you.
No. I use an alias just so I can get access to your stuff. You know, because, yeah, I know how you roll. But yeah, I see this stuff, and you're talking about longline fishing. Next thing you know, there's a troll on there, and it gets, like, 100 responses. Like, oh, my God, what kind of hornet's nest did this guy stir up? So what is going on with this longline fishing off the coast of Florida right now?
Well, first of all, when I lived in New Jersey, mm-hmm. before I became a hard hat diver, I was a scallop fisherman. A scallop fisherman, and I spent 3 years working on boats out of Cape May, New Jersey.
Yeah,
and I fishing is tough work. It is tough. It is dangerous. We would leave the dock, and we wouldn't be back for anywhere from 7 to 17 days.
Wow,
that's a lot of time. And by the way, you don't get nice weather for 7 to 17 days.
No, you don't. This isn't like a cruise ship kind of excursion. It's like Deadliest Catch type stuff, right?
So I know something about commercial fishing.
Yeah,
I love diving in the South Florida area, and something came to my attention off of Facebook,
of course.
Which was that the National Marine Fisheries are going to allow a fleet of longline boats to start working in an area that has been free of long lines for more than a decade. I can't remember how many years.
Right.
And for research purposes. Some professor put together an application. We want to study the effects of longline fishing. Okay. First of all, we don't need a study. Longline fishing's bad. What do you want to know? How bad it is? Okay, real bad. Any other questions? You know, I don't like it. They've turned down all kinds of requests, and now all of a sudden they've opened it up. I don't know what this particular professor wants to do, but I know if it's an unbiased, legitimate survey, the answer is going to be it's bad. And the reason is this: they put out miles and miles of line, baited hooks. And you know, then they pick the stuff up the next day. Well, anything that bites on the hook, it keeps the fish from swimming around. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the fish that is hooked will ultimately suffocate. So when they're picking the fish back up, it's like, and these are mostly pelagic fish. They're not reef fish.
Right.
They're not wreck fish.
Big sharks, so, that kind of thing that we like seeing as divers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, big sharks, mm-hmm. Swordfish, billfish, you know, and okay, so they come back around and they're like, oh, this one's too short. Well, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it back in. Anything that bites the hook is dead. Now, some of that, they you know, is their legitimate catch. Some of it is what? They're just throwing dead fish back in the ocean.
Right.
It is very inefficient, mm-hmm. which is why it was banned back when.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The fact that they're bringing it back, doesn't sit well with me.
Well, under the guise of research, it seems kind of ass-backwards thinking, like, hey, we're going to allow this to prove that it's bad. No, they're trying to prove that it's okay.
Well, you know,
sounds like to me.
It's bad. Well, they're trying to say, well, maybe we can somehow, some way find room for this. No, you know what? You don't have to be a rocket surgeon or a brain scientist. I mean, I'm just a commercial diver, right. You know, ex-scallop fisherman. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, longline? No, I know longline's bad for the environment.
Yeah.
You know, gill nets are bad for the environment. Dredges are bad for the environment. If you want to try and answer the question, well, how bad is it? Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like, a part of the Tonight Show monologue. You know, how bad is it? You know, it is problematic technology. We have there. There are sustainable fishing methodologies that work. Something that may increase productivity, but where you've got a high bykill as a result, there is a net loss. It may be increased productivity for that one particular boat right now, mm-hmm. but we all suffer, including the fishing industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at you can look at all the different fisheries that they have decimated with overfishing and bad management. You know, the cod fish is one. You know, what they do? Well, they wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they wiped them out, they're like, well, you know, we need a study to see what happened to the fish. Oh, I'll tell you what, you caught them all. Happy now?
You know, we could have saved so much money if we would have had John Chatterton in charge of fisheries. Sounds like
to me. If they got a guy who's going to do a study for $1 million, I'll do it for $990,000. I'll give him 10 grand off the top, and I'll do the study.
Well, you know what? I think there's a few folks that might undercut you. You might want to cut that down.
But, you know, it's like this. The collective we, As divers, we see the marine environment different than the guy sitting on a boat with a ball of string and a hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So we see the marine environment different than the guy paying out the long line off the stern of his boat. And you know, I'm a spear fisherman. I love fishing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Here in Florida, there's a couple of things that have happened recently. They're ready to change. This month, they're going to change the hogfish regulations.
Right. I heard about this. Yeah.
You know, this is something that's been coming for like they've been talking about it. Last year, they finally said, that's it, we're changing the regulations. Well, it's just August and they're getting around to it.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody who's been spearfishing in South Florida has seen the problem. And you know, in many ways, the problem is divers are taking fish that are undersized. They're juveniles. They haven't reached their reproductive age. You know, we don't go out and start the lobster season. We say, you know, the lobsters are getting ready to reproduce. Let's get them before they do that.
We've had some success with the lobster management. Maybe, you know, they're finally going to catch up a little bit with hogfish. Look, John Chatterton is our guest right now on Scuba Radio. We got more with him, including talks about the Goliath grouper and having that fishery potentially open up in Florida next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
He's the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Don't like scuba people. Uh-huh. I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay?
I think you should give it to me.
Scuba,
scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know, baby.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master and John Chatterton is my guest right now. And you know, John's been, he's done so much underwater when it comes to, you know, discovering U-boats and crazy, you know, shadow diver stuff. Just Google them and you'll be entertained for years. But he also does great work, and he's down in South Florida now, and we're talking a little bit about some issues when it comes to, regulations are starting to loosen up a little bit on, on longline fishing. We kind of covered that base, and you can Google it and find out how to get involved to protect what we love, which is seeing the critters. We don't want them fished out. I think that's the bottom line, and pretty much all divers can agree with that. Right, John?
Well, you know what? There's two things. There's management, mm-hmm. and there's mismanagement. And like we just discussed about the longline issue, we don't need another survey to tell us that longline fishing is bad. We know it's bad. That's why it's been outlawed.
Yeah.
And you have at least one academic professor, but my understanding is that they have received numerous requests to study longline fishing. Well, they're trying to study something that we don't have already. So they're like, we'll get some boats to do it, and then we'll study them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It sounds like busy work to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a particular lobby is pushing for this because they see a potential new revenue stream that they can exploit. And the problem with longline fishing is it's indiscriminate, you know, killing of non-targeted species.
Absolutely.
So it's not like management of lobster, which we have very strict rules in times that we can go catch lobster. And the same thing you mentioned about the hogfish, are trying to get that under control.
The hogfish, we now have a season for hogfish that works with their reproductive cycle. Mm-hmm. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
But how many years did that take?
Hopefully not too many. You know, and it's not too late is the key there. But we'll see how that unfolds. Now, the other thing,
and you mentioned the Goliath group.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, okay, as we're diving here, you know, occasionally we see them on the reef. We see them all the time on shipwrecks. The Goliath group are regular residents. They are not diminishing the they're not taking away from the marine environment.
Doesn't appear so.
No. Oh. And you know what? If you want to study them, then, you know, study them without a spear gun.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start talking about opening up a season, it's not like, wow, we have so many Goliath groupers. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
What are we? You know what? I couldn't see another fish on the wreck because there were so many Goliath groupers.
Well, what I saw is like someone threw up a YouTube video and showed a Goliath grouper coming up and catching, taking a fish that a rod and reel guy was reeling in.
Oh,
like, look, see, there's too many. They're taking all our fish. I'm like, wait a minute.
You know what? You know, this is the thing. You know, okay, how many guys caught a fish and brought it up to the surface? How many Goliath groupers ate said fish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you have one YouTube video,
right,
does not mean that this is a threat to all of fishing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no. You know what? They're coming after our fish. Next, they're going to be coming after our children, and we all love children.
Look how big those things are. Oh, my God. Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, a diver, seeing those, I mean, I don't think I could ever see too many Goliath grouper, honestly.
Well,
I mean, they're so cool.
Let's take the environmental issue and put that on the side, and I don't mean to make little of it, but, mm-hmm. but just put that on the side.
Yeah.
State of Florida, you know what? Why do people love coming to Florida? Because they see fish like Goliath groupers.
Right.
Yeah, you know, guys come down here. I'm diving all the time down here. And I see all kinds of people, all different wreck divers, reef divers, single tank divers, doubles divers. It doesn't matter who they are. Boys, girls, other, makes no difference. They get back on the boat. Hey, did you see the Goliath grouper?
Mm-hmm. It was bigger than me.
State of Florida benefits because they have an environment that people like to visit, and one of the reasons they like to visit it is the Goliath grouper. And the same thing goes for sharks.
Yeah,
there are certain sea creatures, big fish. It gets people's hearts pumping.
Sure,
they love it. So That's good for just make it about business. Oh, the Goliath Grouper? Yeah, I think they're on our payroll because we're really benefiting from
that's right. Worth way more alive than they are, you know, on a fisherman's hook or
Point of trying to go out and take and you know, I mean, every year there are Goliath Grouper that either get taken by anglers by mistake,
and right.
by the time they return to the environment that they're done. Mm-hmm. Or you also have, poachers or, you know, any number of things. Right now, we have like a decent balance. And unless somebody says the fate of the reef shark depends on the population of the Goliath grouper, and we've got too many Goliath grouper, and we're gonna wipe out another species without culling the herd. That's management,
mm-hmm.
you
sure.
know. But nobody's saying that right now.
No.
I mean, the fish took some angler's fish. Oh, well, you know what? Yeah, that same guy. I got tangled up in his ball of monofilament fishing line the other day. I want to return it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't take a single incident and say it is representative of the physics of planet Earth.
Right.
Because it's not. If it was representative of the way things work, quite literally, it would be happening every day.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's research out there already showing that the Goliath grouper, they're studying what they've been eating, and it's not other fish like on a long line or on a fisherman's pole.
They regularly steal fish from me when I'm spearfishing.
Well, okay.
But it's like, I figure it's like tax. You know, the marine environment is taxing. I am allowed to go out there and spearfish and bring some fish home to my family. But, oh, I got to pay the tax to the Goliath grouper is
there
the
you
tax
go.
Collector.
Mayor Grouper. Yeah, got to pay your pay your tax. Absolutely. I love it. John Chatterton is the man. JohnChatterton.com. Go check it out. John, always a pleasure to have you, my friend. And look
the pleasure's all mine, Greg. I'll see you later today.
Okay.
Which is really next week. Get the DeLorean.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. And Mermaid Brittany is with me right now. Britt, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right, so you've been doing a little bit of diving. Just like, Jerry the Diver Guy, I was talking to him a little earlier. He did a night dive in a quarry last night. Or some people say, well, he says quarry, other people say quarry. So
right.
You are in a quarry or a quarry or both? What do you call it? In your neck
of the
woods.
I was in a quarry. Yeah.
A quarry, okay. Where exactly? I'm assuming it wasn't the same place, so where?
No, up in Vermont, actually. It's a slate quarry.
Yeah.
It was only 20 feet deep, but we just wanted to start off our first dive there just to kind of get our bearings, and then we went to the lake the next day. So we ended up, actually, we weren't planning on this, but it turned into a night dive. But that was okay. We had lights. And like I said, it was only 20 feet deep and we were just kind of getting acclimated again with different equipment. My friend had just purchased a new regulator. So we just wanted to, it's fairly large. So we just wanted to kind of go down there and
get wet.
Get a little wet here and enjoy the nice air. It was 74 degrees actually, which was amazing. I was thinking that it was going to be a lot colder. So it was actually pretty happy about that.
So the water temp was 74, which is a little on the chilly side, but that's not bad for a quarry for sure.
No, not at all. When we were, we had 7 mil wetsuits on, so it wasn't so bad.
Well, were you the only divers in this place, or were there a whole bunch of folks?
Yeah, no, it was just my friend and I. Like I said, it was my family's quarry that we knew exactly. You know, we knew how deep it was. We knew exactly. It's a big sort of pond-ish quarry, and then there's this one little hole. So we knew exactly how deep it was, and we just kind of wanted to get down there and get acclimated with all of his new gear before we took it out to the lake.
Okay, it sounds like a really big pool. You know, that kind of thing. All right, so we're going to continue on with Mermaid Britt and find out how her lake dive went. A little freshwater diving chat here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
I've written quite a bit of X-Men fan fiction. Captain Mutato is half man, half mermaid, so he can fight crime as a man and make love as a mermaid. Most of my writing involves the latter.
Can't swim, so I took a boat to an island so remote. Only Johnny Depp has ever been to it before. I stayed there till the air was clear. I was boarding out of tears. Then I saw you washed up on the shore.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We have Mermaid Brittany on Scuba Radio right now. She's been doing some freshwater diving, and I assume no mermaiding. You're just focused on the diving part right now. Is that right, Britt?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. You know, you gotta do both sometimes, and sometimes you gotta focus on one or the other. So it sounds like you're just focused on the diving, which is probably a good plan for now. But so you did a night dive in a quarry, and about 20 feet of water the other day, and then that was prep for going to dive a lake up in Vermont. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, we dove Lake Bombazine, so it is the largest in-state lake in Vermont.
Okay.
There's a couple different lakes that are bigger, but they border, you know, Canada and New York. So this is the biggest in-state lake. It's about 7 miles by 1 mile.
Okay.
And there's a couple different slate piles that sort of dump into that. So we started off on the edge of that, and we kind of went down and we went in, and I've never in my life seen fish so incredibly curious of divers.
Really? In a lake. So these are freshwater fish. Like, what are we talking about? Bass, or do you know what kind of critters we're talking about, or what?
Yeah, largemouth, smallmouth, and little pumpkin seed. It was actually the pumpkin seed that they came right up to the GoPro. They were looking at us. They weren't scared at all when we started, you know, breathing. I mean, usually, you know, when you're in the Keys and you're getting down there and you're enjoying the life, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I just breathed, and they just went away, and then I, you know, stopped for a second, and they came back.
All right, I have no idea what a pumpkin seed fish is, but what is it, like a bluegill kind of thing, or what?
Right. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
okay. Got it. So you got those fish. They're coming up and checking you out. Is it potentially because there's not a lot of divers on this lake, or are there?
That's what I think. I don't know anyone else who has ever dove this lake. I'm sure that there probably has been some divers on the lake, but for the most part, we were pretty much the only people that I know of this year. And that was indicative when we saw the boats flying past our heads, you know, within 20 feet of us. It's like, oh, yeah, because nobody knows what a dive flag is.
Okay, so you're towing a dive flag, and you came in from the shore, I assume. Is that right?
We got dropped off on the boat, and the boat had a dive flag, and we had a dive flag as well.
Yeah,
so we were definitely covering all bases, but it wasn't really.
But the other boaters had no idea what the heck that meant. They just like, hey, they have a cool flag, cool, you know. So you had to be a little on the defensive, watching out for the other boaters. But the fish, yeah, maybe it's just they're not used to seeing divers, and so they have no, fear of them. You know, I've seen that situation in remote places that I've been to down in the Pacific and even in the Caribbean at times, to some real remote places. And it's funny how when, you know you're going to a place that there's not any divers there on a regular basis, the fish do seem a little bit more, you know, curious, or I don't know, they don't seem scared off as much. I mean, your bubbles will still scare them off a little bit. But generally, they kind of have a little bit more of a curious a vibe about them where they might come in and check you out a little bit more as opposed to, you know, run for their lives because they're used to being shot by a spear fisherman or something like that. You know what I mean?
That's correct. Yeah. And it was weird too that they sort of hung with us. They didn't really leave us. Like they would come up, they would check us out and see us. And then as we were, you know, going along, they were just kind of following behind us and in front of us. And at one point, we went this morning first thing and we looked all around us. It was a really cool shot with my camera. I just did a complete 360 and they were all around us. Just
nice.
Completely all around us. Just everyone's staring at us. It was like some sort of rave.
Huh.
Sort of underwater
was,
rave.
An underwater fish rave. That's pretty, and you're the center of it. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, all right. So you're down there, you're seeing these fish. And by the way, how big were these fish? Are you talking about these pumpkin seed or all different type of species of fish are doing this?
Yeah, so the little pumpkin seed, the bluegill, they were about, you know, no bigger than 6 inches. And those were the ones that were everywhere. But then we had a lot of bass down there. And they were, you know, maybe anywhere from a foot to 18 inches. But, you know, some of them were pretty chunky and then others were... on the skinnier side.
Right. All right. But you're down there just looking around and checking things out. And what other kind of, you know, structure do they got there in the lake? Anything? Or is it just kind of grassy bottom or sandy, mucky bottom type of thing or what?
Yeah, we checked out a couple different spots. So we dove off the side of that slate pile. And that was kind of interesting. We found an anchor, a couple different anchors, and then, you know, we brought a couple up. And then we moved over in the center of the lake. There's actually a spot where there's buoys because there is this random mound of rock formation that's right there. And it was actually really neat because once we sort of got down there diving, we realized that the rock formation kind of goes like stairs. So... we called it the stairway to the beach because that's where everyone beaches their boats.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that'd be a good place to explore and find stuff, I bet.
Exactly. Yeah, we found a lot of lures. We cleaned up a lot of stuff, a lot of bottles.
Mm-hmm. No diamond rings or gold jewelry, anything like that?
Yeah, I was waiting for the Rolex, but it didn't come out.
That's where you hear these stories of people finding some really cool stuff like that. So you never know. But yeah, you still pulled up some fishing line, did some good works in that regard, it sounds like. And really, this whole thing, well, how deep were you in the lake, by the way? How deep was that?
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too. So we dropped down, and my friend, he's used to diving in the Northwest Pacific, so he is a cold water diver. Yeah. I only dive typically in Florida, mm-hmm. and so I'm a warm water wuss.
Right.
And... we got down to 32 feet and I just sort of looked at him, shook my head. No, like, nope, we're going up. This is nope.
You hit a thermal climb around 30 feet then?
Oh yes. We went up to 28 feet and it was fine. It went from 72 degrees to 64 degrees. Oh, it was terrible.
Wow.
So anyway, and then, we came up to the surface, and he's like, what do you mean? What? I didn't realize that this whole warm water wuss thing was real. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. All you should have said to him is a shrinkage, and that probably would have got the point across. But that's a pretty serious drop. I've been in those situations where you hit that thermocline. Was it pretty exact, like right at 30 feet, and all of a sudden you hit it, and like, whoa!
Yeah.
It was
Yes, definitely. And all throughout the lake, the next spot that we went to as well, it was the same issue.
Yeah.
Right around 28 feet, it started getting a little chilly. But once I got acclimated to the fact that actually happens, then it wasn't so bad. But just, you know, on the first dive down, when we first dropped in, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, that initial rush. It feels refreshing and startling and scary at the same. Did you have the visual cue too of the thermocline when it dropped like that? You usually get that little wavy kind of mirrory type of thing going on in the water. Did you see anything like that or no?
Yeah, we did. And actually, right where that happened, it was really dark as well. Like that's when, you know, like pretty. You could definitely see that's where the light completely stopped coming in.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting,
okay.
But and that's where all the growth stopped as well. Like there was no more really little zebra mussels, and there was a lot of the algae wasn't really there. I'm sure it was further down, but we saw a lot of algae the whole way down. And then once that thermocline happened, we didn't really see it much after that. But I'm sure it was down at the bottom.
Got it. So this whole experience was to help your buddy out with some new gear and prepare you for some serious diving you have coming up out of the country. Is that right?
That's right. I'm going to XTC Dive Center for my Dive Master certification around the middle of September to the middle of December.
Oh, cool. So did you get everything checked off the list that you needed to on that dive? Did it work for you and him?
I did. Yeah, yeah. I did some work with my safety sausage, and it was interesting. It was good. And I was just really excited to be there because we're always on the lake. You know, everyone hangs out on the lake in the summertime. But it was just fun to see what's down there.
Right. And when you hit that thermocline, you're thinking, I can deal with this. I'll be in Mexico in just a few weeks, and it'll be nice and warm, bathwater diving.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, take your mind away from the cold, stinging elements of that water. So, yeah, but that's cool. It's always good as a diver to have something to look forward to like that. You're with me on this, right, Britt?
100%.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing all about your adventure as you, you know, progress into being a professional dive master and instructor. That'll be great stuff. And thanks for the update, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly poly fish. Heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving and fish heads around the world. I'll be joining a few of them on location next week. You'll hear all about it as we head down to South Florida for the sinking of the new dive bar, which is a wreck that they put a dive bar stuff on the top. But you'll hear all about it next week, as well as the dive god's birthday. It's going to be quite a spectacle, and we're going to cover it as appropriately and inappropriately as we can here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I don't know if I'll see him, but we're going to talk to him right now, and that's Pete from Scuba Board. You coming down there for this thing or what, Pete?
I don't know yet.
You don't know. You're going to wait till the last minute and decide, huh?
Dude, I'm in the middle of moving into my new house here in cave country.
Wait. Hold on. Are you in an actual cave as we speak? Because it kind of sounds like it.
Well, it's an empty house. Oh, okay. What can I say?
All right. Well, that's fine. I mean, it's appropriate. Yeah, so you've moved from the Florida Keys, paradise, up to cave country where you're going to go live as a hermit in a cave with, like, you know, Spanish moss
something
hanging over.
Like that.
Okay. Something like that. But I don't know. What were you know, got fed up with the heat or something? Or what's going on exactly?
You know, I've been there for 7 years, and there's a lot of diving in Florida. People think of the Keys, and they should. Keys are a great place to dive in Florida. Awesome place to dive.
Yeah.
But you got Boynton Beach. You got cave country, which I'm in at, which I'm at now. We call it the non-stingy water.
Mm.
You know, fresh water, beautiful, same temperature year round, 72 degrees.
Yeah.
So when everybody is, you know, trying to dive ice or it's getting really cold in the winter, I got the same temperature water.
Okay. All right. And it's that nice, calm, clear, you know, it's gin clear, 74 year round, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Exactly. And no captain's telling you when to get in or when to get out of the water. It's all up to you.
Yeah. And you bought some new digs, so you actually are going to be a landowner in the whole thing. And you got a pretty good spread from the pictures I see. That's pretty cool.
I'm not going to be. I am.
You are.
A landowner.
Well, congratulations.
I closed yesterday.
Are you literally right next to one of these springs or something? Or no?
About a mile from Itchnetuckney.
Yeah.
5 miles from Little River. Royal Springs is not too far. Ginny Springs, Peacock Springs. I'm in the center of Springopolis.
Spring country. For all we know, next week we might be calling you like, hey, a spring popped up on my property. Come dive it, Greg. It could happen,
yeah.
Right?
I'm breaking out the dynamite now.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and he has you know, all kinds of acres and stuff, so he's...
10.82.
That's pretty sweet, man. That is sounds really nice. And you're already very, very familiar with the area, so it's kind of like, you know, going back home almost as much as you go up there to dive, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I'm a Gator. Well, 4 years at the University of Florida, now I'm within spitting distance, not that I would ever spit on my alma mater.
Okay.
Can't say that about Georgia, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, well, it could happen, depending on what he was drinking that afternoon. Yeah, but
exactly.
You know, so do you have a plan already, or is it still kind of too new in the move to know if, hey, you're going to go really hunker down and explore this particular cave area that you've visited many, many times, but you really have the time and flexibility to really go explore, like, long-term now?
That is the plan. That is the plan, is to seek out a few of them. Like, I haven't dove Royal Springs. It's beautiful. Troy Springs.
Yeah.
So close. I've never dove it, you know. Mm-hmm. Because living in the Keys, it's been a 6.5-hour drive to get up here. Now, it's a 30-minute drive because I'm already here.
Yeah. Well, you got to love that. Now, you got over 10 acres, which is just barely enough to fit all the dive gear you have, I'm guessing, right?
Barely. I bought a zero-turn mower. Dude, that's fun.
A zero turn mower. What do you mean? What is that?
They got the two levers, and you push forward to go forward, you pull back to go back, pull one forward and the other back, and you go do wheelies, you know.
Okay.
Little donuts, tiny little donuts.
All right. So, you know, Pete from Scuba Board's official redneck has come into play. You know, he's in the country now, so he's trying to, you know, meld with the locals. God bless him. All right, well, yeah, it sounds like a fun time. And, I mean, are you still getting settled in? It's very new to you right now, I would assume, because you just got in there this week, right? Something like that?
I got in there yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yesterday. So I don't even have a couch. My mattress comes in on Monday.
Oh.
What
are you sleeping on?
Television.
What did you sleep on last? A cot? Okay.
I carry a cot and camp chairs in Vanessa, my van, my dive van.
Okay.
And so now I'm sitting in one of the camp chairs. The other camp chair is on the porch, and the cot is set up in the master bedroom.
Okay. Did I get that right, though? You call your dive van Vanessa?
Yeah, get it? Van Essa?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I got a new scuba radio ride this week, and I'm trying to decide what I need to call it.
The Honda.
The Honda, yes, you saw that, or I heard about it, yeah.
But we talked about it for a few moments, and the Ridgeline, I had a Ridgeline for years, the bigger one when it was a little bit bigger vehicle, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. It's an awesome dive vehicle.
Well, I got to come up with a proper name, you know, Vanessa, you know, Honda something, or, you know, some kind of dive-related thing, you know, like Mako.
The Honcho. The big honcho.
No, it has to have something to do with diving. If you have any suggestions, email us here at Scuba Radio through scubaradio.com, and we'll figure this out maybe next week or the week after. I mean, we got a lot to cover. Maybe I'll see you down there for the sinking of this wreck next week, okay, Pete? You see if you can fit it in, all right?
I'll try, my friend, but if I'm not there, have fun without me.
I have a feeling we'll manage. Plus, hey, look, it's the Dive God's birthday, so check it out next week, big show. Till then, remember, it is always better where, Pete?
Down where it's wetter.
That's right. Safe diving, everyone.
Stuck here, cutting a rug here.
Under the sea.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in luck here, down in the muck here.
Under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.